Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, over the years, we've had roundtables. We had roundtables in observance of the passing of John Keel and Richard Hall, and even Mac Tony's, for one, Lucius Farish, and we had a cross-section of guests. And one show that we haven't done yet is a roundtable about an unusual place right here in the United States, which some people call the Skinwalker Ranch. And of course, we covered that book from George Knapp on several occasions, but now we go more in depth. And what we're going to do on this show with Chris and I is we're going to bring on, and Chris will introduce the special guests, investigators who know what's going on. We'll explain to those of you who are not acquainted with these mysteries where we're coming from, and then we'll even answer a lot of questions that we've received from our audiences. And if you want to know how to post those questions, you go to forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. And we have a place there called the Question Bank. And whatever we know far enough in advance that a guest is due, we'll post a thread or topic there so you ask your questions. That's how it goes. But this is a show I'm excited about. So excited, I might just sit back and become the fly on the wall and let Chris run it. How's that, Chris?
Well, we'll see, Gene. We always enjoy and welcome your input, obviously. Hunt for the Skinwalker, a book that was written by, you know, crack journalist from Las Vegas, George Knapp, and a microbiologist who was employed by the National Institute of Discovery Sciences, or NIDS, which is a paranormal investigation, scientific investigative group set up by shadowy billionaire Robert Bigelow, made his fortune with the Budget Suites hotel chain. NIDS bought this ranch back in 1996. I first became aware of this case in 1996 before the article that exposed it to the world came out. It was written by Zach Van Eck for the Deseret News. And I was involved very, very early on. And 16 years later, I still feel that this could be the most important single case. Has a lot of different elements, as we'll find out, you know, over the course of the show. But it is a single case. It is a location-specific situation. And I still feel that this is one of the most important, if not the case, that should be focused on by investigators. And we're really going to cover a lot of ground. The basic story is pretty simple. A gentleman by the name of Terry Sherman and his wife, Gwen, bought a ranch. I think it was in 1994. And it's located in the Uinta Basin of Utah, which is in kind of the central, south-central part of the state. And very early on, they noticed some very strange events were happening, including large, oversized wolves and other strange animal-type forms, voices from out of nowhere, seemingly right above the family's head, strange craft coming through apertures or portals that would open up in the air right in front of their house. Whenever they dug on the ranch, for instance, with backhoes, created water sprinkler systems and that sort of thing, it seemed to stir up activity. And this particular property became too much for the family. And at one point, they went ahead and talked to Zach Van Eck from the Deseret News, who published the now famous article about the case. And they ended up selling the ranch to Robert Bigelow, who bought the ranch, moved in a whole team of scientists, and ostensibly they've been there for the last 16 years, gathering data. And very little is known about the case. The book, Hunt for the Skinwalker, written by George Knapp and Colm Kelleher, only scratched the surface, and we're going to dig a little deeper today, Gene, and really get into this case. This is, I think, a really important show.
Tell us about our guests.
Well, we have David Weatherly, who I've been working with loosely here for the past couple of years.
Loosely?
Loosely. We haven't formalized our investigative partnership, if I could say that. But we have both been very interested in the case. David has spent quite a bit of time. He lived up in Utah for a number of years, has created inroads with locals in the Fort Duchesne, Uinta Basin area around Vernal, Roosevelt, Fort Duchesne. This is where all this activity seems to be centered. David has branched out. He's not only interested in the Sherman Ranch case, as we'll find out, but he's also interested in the Uinta Basin as a whole. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. The Sherman Ranch may be an epicenter of sorts, but we're going to find out from David about his investigations and what he's found out. We also have Ryan Skinner, who, relatively speaking, to the 16 years that we've known about this case, Ryan is more of a latecomer, but he has spent a lot of quality time up at the ranch. He's located in Wisconsin, but he does, I don't know how you do it, Ryan, but he spends quite a bit of time out there whenever he can. I was involved with a shoot with Ryan and the Jesse Ventura Conspiracy Theory Show with Jesse's son and Oliver Stone's son. We were there
just
in October.
Sons? What happened to the fathers? They just didn't want to get involved.
I don't know. We'll have to address that later. But we had a very interesting time. I finally got a chance to meet Ryan. We had an interesting experience on Skinwalker Ridge, which is a geologic formation just north of the ranch, and we'll talk about that later. But Ryan has really done an amazing job of sleuthing around the area, documenting events that have occurred, you know, testing the defensive perimeters around the ranch. And he's experienced probably as much as anyone not involved with NIDS, of course, who operate the ranch. But Ryan has had quite a number of very interesting experiences, including one that we shared last October. But we're also hoping for a special guest who shall remain nameless. But we're hoping later on to have a special guest who's going to share some insider insight into the case.
That works for me. Chris, why don't you bring on our guests and let's start the conversation going. I guess first what we should do is, for people who are not familiar with these cases and with the geography more than what you've laid out there, maybe some more specifics.
Yeah, David, do you want to start us off and give us a little bit of background? I know you've done quite a bit of research there. We should talk obviously about Frank Salisbury and his very important book, The Great Utah UFO Display, which was published in the early 70s. His investigative cohort, Junior Hicks, we tried to get on the show. We still might be able to do that, but we'll have to see. Why don't you start us off and give us a little background about the area? Let's talk about the Native American traditions, the interesting geology, and that sort of thing.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks, Chris and Gene. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys. And yeah, this is an exciting show. I mean, this area is just incredible. As you stated, Chris, you know, I've done a lot of research in the region and really view the Uinta Basin as something equivalent to, you know, the San Luis Valley that you've worked extensively with, the Superstition Mountains in Arizona. This is a paranormal hotbed of a wide range of activity. And it's, you know, people have to understand, if you're not familiar with Utah, first of all, geographically, this region is bordered by mountains on the north and the west, the Uinta Range in the north and the Wasatch in the west. And it's up in sort of the northeast corner of Utah. This is a very rural area. Lots of small little towns. I think the largest town is Vernal, which I believe still has less than 10,000 people. You know, this is ranching community. It's a lot of Native American population. And the history of the phenomena here goes back well prior to the Sherman Ranch. You know, I first got involved in the area when I was living in northern Utah. Actually, we had a call about a Bigfoot encounter that was out in that region.
And don't forget, you can find us on Twitter. We're known as the Paracast on Twitter. Check us out. David Weatherly, ladies and gentlemen, is giving us the background of what went on in this region of Utah. We've got a lot more to present here with Ryan Skinner and David Weatherly. Joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You know, neighbors, during the summer, it seems like almost everyone is on a different schedule. They have vacations, they have shorter days, and they work remotely. So meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can just be impossible. That's why I recommend go to meeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face to face no matter where you are this summer. Here's how it works. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group HD video. You can even get an iPad app for it. How about that? Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to use. You know, our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. So don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Use the promo code PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com to get a free trial for just 30 days, neighbors. And don't forget that special iPad app.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have David Weatherly and Ryan Skinner who have investigated all these strange occurrences. And David was giving us the overview, and I wanted to have him continue in that direction. David?
Sure. So jumping ahead a little bit, I first became aware of the region when I was called about a Bigfoot encounter in the area. So I went out to the Uinta Basin, and I started exploring, met with the people who had this encounter, and discovered that the whole area was just an amazing hotbed of activity, UFO sightings, a wide range of cryptid encounters. And the more I explored and started digging in with the locals and trying to make connections, I discovered a lot of very strange things that go back and have Native American connections to the area. So, you know, to put this in sort of historical context, you have the Ute tribe who lives in the region. And during the white settlement, the Utes actually sided with the Americans against the Navajos. So it created a lot of animosity between the Utes and the Navajos. And over time, this just sort of grew and grew. The Utes were part of the forced march of the Navajos. The thousands of Navajos were forced to march over 300 miles down to New Mexico. And in the course of this happening, the Utes came to believe that the Navajos had cursed them. And this is the source of some of the tales of skinwalkers in the region. For anyone who doesn't know what a skinwalker is, it essentially is someone who practices witchcraft in Native American terms. And in that context, this is a very evil type of magic. These people were able to shapeshift into animals. So essentially we're talking something akin to the classic werewolf of European mythology.
Are we talking also about the shapeshifters that we have on a TV show like True Blood, where they can kind of turn themselves into anything, or must it be wolves?
Well, the idea of a skinwalker is that they are able to take the skin of an animal, and whatever animal they take the skin of, they're able to don this skin and literally shift into the animal. Or it's usually a weird version of the animal, like a bipedal coyote or, a werewolf type of image. There's also some legends that say that these skinwalkers can literally take the skin of their enemy, another person, and be able to shapeshift into that person. So they're not really bound to a particular animal, but there are, parameters that they have to utilize. They have to have the physical skin, supposedly, to be able to shift into being.
So you have to have the skin of a wolf, the skin of the sheep, before you become that creature.
That's correct.
Or genetic material as well. Obviously, you're not going to take the skin of an enemy and become that enemy. Nail clippings, hair, urine on the ground. These are the types of substances that are utilized by skinwalkers. And if I may add, David, too, another thing that skinwalkers are allegedly able to do is, if you lock eyes with one, as the the tradition goes, if they want to, they can jump inside you and take over your motor functions. Your consciousness is totally alive, but you lose all ability to move and speak, and the skinwalker does all that for you, which sounds like probably some people's worst nightmare. Continue. One thing that we should add, David, too, is that the Sherman Ranch is a taboo area to the Ute. In other words, they're not allowed to go there, so... it stands to reason why not sell it to the white man and make some money. But this ranch is located right smack in the middle of the Mountain Ute reservation.
Yeah, and the ranch, seems to be sort of the center point of the activity in this region. I mean, I've investigated a lot of other areas away from the ranch, and it seems, and I believe, that over the last several years, this whatever you want to call it, whether you refer to it as a portal or a region of strange phenomena, I believe that it's grown a bit over the last 10 to 15 years. And, we're seeing more activity in other regions within the Uinta Basin. For instance, there's Dry Fork Canyon, which some of your listeners may have heard of. It's a very strange area. It's north of Vernal. There's a park within the canyon, and it lies within the national forest. I believe that's the Ashland National Forest. And Dry Fork Canyon is, there are a number of stories of weird encounters, time loss. There were a pair of suicides about 10 years ago that were very odd. Two men, about 6 months apart, walked into the canyon, walked up on the cliff, took their clothing off and folded it into a neat pile, and then left off the cliff. Now, this happened to two separate men. 6 months apart, they did the exact same thing. And, the authorities later found out that these two guys had dated the same woman, who was a known meth dealer in the area. But nobody really had any explanation for the weird behavior, and the cases just sort of went away. But, you know, that's not the only thing that's happened in the canyon. There are reports of Sasquatch-like creatures in that region. There are reports of some type of humanoid figures akin to, some people describe them like the gray aliens, or, you know, some people say that they're more like the classical little people of European mythology.
Now, in terms of these cases, are these just people who report these things? Do they have any evidence in terms of samples, footprints, pictures, anything more solid than eyewitness testimony?
There hasn't been a whole lot in Dry Fork Canyon that I'm aware of as far as, you know, physical evidence. I have seen a number of footprints, castings of footprints of Sasquatch-like creatures in the area. I've seen a couple of photographs of very, very large wolf tracks that, you know, appear to be a wolf-like creature walking by people. So
I can see, know, Lon Chaney Jr. as the wolf man.
Yeah. Well, some people refer to these creatures as the dog man, which is something that recently, I spent some time in southern Utah recently and met with some Native Americans who have relatives that live up in the Uinta Basin, and they gave me a pretty fascinating story about essentially a dog man sighting in the Roosevelt area. And so, you know,
is that like a man with the face of a dog?
Yeah, it's a bipedal creature that appears to be have canid features. You know, so sort of like
the TV show Grimm, where all these people suddenly change their faces to look like some kind of hideous animal.
Essentially, yeah.
David, I love the story in Hunt for the Skinwalker where this dogman-type creature or something similar to it was spotted. And it was observed standing, I think, leaning against a tree smoking a cigarette, if I remember correctly.
Are you sure it was a regular cigarette and not a funny cigarette? We have Chris O'Brien. We're joined by David Weatherly and Ryan Skinner, who will have more to say in a moment. We're talking about what's going on in and around the Skinwalker Ranch. More surprises to come. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris here in the Paracast, we've been talking a lot with David Weatherly. Ryan Skinner is also with us, a fellow investigator. We'll have more to say momentarily. Chris, you were spelling out a scenario there that I interrupted you for because the creatures who run those commercial carts have to have their say.
Well, we've had actually some fairly recent rumors, if you will, stories, fairly well established. Quite a number of witnesses have been involved in a number of these dogman sightings, including one instance where this creature was seen to leap between houses. It was on the rooftops, and it was actually leaping 20, 25 feet between houses.
Oh, I hate to say this. Leap one house with a single bound.
Or from one roof to another roof. You know, we're hoping our mystery guest might put a little bit more light on this particular subject. But you know, this is very difficult. Now, we have to remember that NIDS, the National Institute of Discovery Scientists, has been on the ranch almost 16 years, or just over 16 years. And except for the book, Hunt for the Skinwalker, we haven't seen, the investigative community has not seen any data, any sorts of revelations from NIDS about what is going on the ranch, what they have personally witnessed up there, the kind of data that they've collected. None of these things have come out. So we're basing a lot of what we're talking about on qualified leads, you know, in some sense, personal testimony, secondhand testimony. Law enforcement in the area has been involved in a number of cases, as David will probably talk about here later. But this is some pretty compelling stuff here. The variety and intensity of unusual phenomena that have been reported in this area, I think, are unrivaled anywhere except maybe a place like you mentioned, David, the San Luis Valley or a few other places. What about the Native American tradition as it relates to the ranch? What has your research found?
Well, there's quite a few aspects of that. One is, as you stated earlier, Chris, this is a taboo area for the Native Americans. So, you know, it's very possible they did intentionally unload it on the white man. Some of that goes back to the conflict between the Utes and the Navajos. And
by the way, I want you to explain the name of that Indian again, because people listen to that and they think you're from Brooklyn and you're talking about Utes. I'm serious.
Ute is spelled U-T-E. It is the Native American tribe that lived in that region well before the white settlers, and it's actually where Utah derived its name, and it's from that tribe. There are several branches of the Utes, the northern Utes, the southerns, and some of them have slightly different names, but they're all related to the Ute tribe.
And one thing we must also note is the Utes were a nomadic people. They ranged throughout the whole Four Corners region, north of Four Corners, and they weren't settled in pueblos like, let's say, the Zuni or the Hopi. They had a vast range that went from California almost to the Midwest, and then from around the Four Corners region north all the way up through Utah and parts of Colorado. They've been, obviously, in the last 100 years, they've been sort of relegated to a series of reservations that are actually widely spaced apart. There's the southern Utes in southwestern Colorado and the mountain Utes who are north up in the Uinta Basin. And these people, you know, they're stuck now on these reservations, but they used to be nomadic.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. And I also would add, not that I want to go into a whole lot of history lesson, but there's something unique about the Utes that I've found. I've worked with a lot of Native American people around the country, and one curious thing historically about the Utes was that they often would ally themselves with against other Native American tribes. For instance, as I stated earlier, they joined with the Americans against the Navajo when that conflict was going on. They also banded together with the Mormons when the Mormons were in conflict against the U.S. government. So, you know, I think it just adds a little bit of a different aspect to the whole cultural mix in Utah. Utah is unique anyway because of the native tribes, and, you know, the Mormons sort of have their own, almost their own culture, and it really blended into the whole mystique of the area and the unusual atmosphere and interrelations between all those peoples. You know, when you start looking at this region, I mean, we haven't even talked about the sightings of the little people, really, in the Uinta Basin, which is something that fascinates me. And I mean, we're talking what a lot of people commonly refer to as fairies. You know, most people, when you say that word, they immediately think of the Celtic lands, Ireland and Scotland. A lot of people don't realize that North America, the native tribes have, a lot of native tribes have traditions of these small little beings that live sometimes in caves, sometimes up in the mountains. And when you start examining that mythology, it's very similar to European mythology of little people. You know, they're often spotted dancing in circles. They supposedly will play music to lure people into their area. They're very mischievous. And there are modern stories of people sighting these diminutive people in the Uinta Basin.
It sounds to me like American leprechauns.
Yeah. Well, if you go to Dulce, Gene, for instance, one of the most commonly seen and one of the least talked about phenomenal events that happen up there are sightings of small hairy dwarves that have even been seen jumping from car to car in the casino parking lot at one point. You know, this is an area of cryptozoology, if you will, or paranormal investigation that really doesn't get very much mention out there in the media. A lot of investigators don't want to talk about reports that they get of this kind, but in the San Luis Valley, I mean, I've had leprechaun reports, two within a week and a half, 2 week period, and also trooping fairies, a group of 7, 8, 9 fairies trooping across a guy's studio floor. And before they went through the wall, like it wasn't there, the last one turned around and gave the owner of the studio a dirty look before he disappeared through the wall. So go figure.
Do these creatures ever interact with humans or what?
I've never had a report of one interacting except, you know, a dirty look.
Well, that's, I don't know that's about an you, interaction. Dirty, maybe they don't like our politics or they don't like our TV shows. Maybe
well,
they don't
he
like
got
the way TV shows portray them.
Well, he got the impression that they were just on their, you know, their regular path, and the studio had been built in the way, and they had to kind of go through it. It was almost like, you know, you're making us go through walls. You know, how dare you? That was the kind of impression he got.
Encroaching on their territory.
That usually seems to be the case with those types of sightings. The only place, you know, there's a region in the Northeast Massachusetts, where you hear a lot of tales about the puck wedges. And these are little people that are very trickster-like. And, you know, occasionally you'll get reports from that region of these things interacting with humans. But it usually, as Chris is saying, in all the areas I have found, it always seems as if these little people are just offended that, you know, the that we've intruded into their space or we've interrupted something. You know, there are sightings in the basin where people have, there was a group of campers that, you know, three people witnessed this group of what they describe as little people around 2.5 to 3 feet tall dancing around in a circle. And, you know, this went on for maybe 30 seconds, and one of the little people suddenly turned and looked at these campers and just, you know, completely rude, irritated look. How dare you be eavesdropping? And they were just gone.
Don't rain on their parade.
Ryan.
The lament of the fairy, the lament of the leprechaun, the lament of the little people. You know,
Ryan, you've spent quite a bit of time up there in the last few years. Have you encountered any reports of diminutive humanoid types?
I've come across reports, yeah, and flight interaction with humans, pretty similar to what Dave's talking about. There's a couple different reports. One that comes to mind is one of the local natives was telling me a story how, as a child, he was outside playing in Fort Duchesne.
I'll tell you what, we'll hear about this childhood experience cited by Ryan Skinner. We have David Weatherly also joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we're hunting for this skinwalker in our own way, with a special roundtable about that unusual region of Utah. Our guests include investigators David Weatherly and Ryan Skinner. And Ryan, you started to tell us a story about what someone told you happened when he was a child?
Yeah, on my forum, I was speaking with one of the local natives, and he told me as a child he was outside playing, and he was pretty surprised, and as he came across a group of what he described as, he didn't describe them as little people or aliens, he described them as, that's the proper term, but midgets is what he used to me. And he said there was a group of about four or five of them, and they were kind of dancing around real jovial, and, they didn't speak, they spoke a language, but he couldn't understand what the language was, and they invited him to come over and play with them.
So they spoke language?
They were speaking a language, but it was unfamiliar to the witness.
Okay.
And as he came over to play with them, his father came outside and recognized what was happening, and apparently this is familiar to some of the natives, and pulled him away promptly from participating in whatever function they were doing.
Now, that's an interesting question that I kind of think is implicit in what you said. Is it just a father's concern, or do these little creatures have a habit of taking people away with them?
You know, I can answer that one, Dean, because Ryan's story is very interesting in that part of the lore of these little people in that region is that they will take away unattended children.
He did tell me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw wandering around.
It definitely fits in with that.
That's all I know of the story. It ended at that point. They left.
Are there any other similar stories that you can report?
His father was really concerned about, similar to what Dave was saying, that this wasn't necessarily not necessarily a positive experience, more of a concerning one for his father.
Locals
also report that there's these ant mounds out there. And they're shaped like ant mounds, and they claim that smoke comes from some of these, and they avoid sitting on them. I don't quite understand how this all comes together, but these mounds are supposedly the homes or the portals to where these little people reside in. So on my own adventures and excavations out there, I myself try to steer clear of some of these. And they are out there. I'm not sure what they are.
The version I've heard of that is that these little people live underground and that those formations are essentially like a chimney for their homes underground.
Well, let's start digging, Gene.
Oh, yes. You know, Chris, I think we should raise this point. The fact that the property over there is owned by Bob Bigelow, that kind of means that information goes in but doesn't go out.
Isn't that... an understatement. You know, I might be partially responsible for that. When I went up unfortunately, I was asked by Zach Van Eck, the writer of the original story that exposed the case to the world back in July 96. He, as the story was getting ready to come out, he asked me to contact Terry Sherman and try to help him out. The guy really needed to talk to somebody that had some sort of experience dealing with these types of phenomenal events. And we're talking crypto creatures, UFOs, cattle mutilations, weird, just weirdness off the scale. And so I took, you know, the 450-mile trip up there and, you know, spent an afternoon with him. And one of the things that really struck me was his sincerity. The guy was just came across like a you know, true blue, salt of the earth kind of guy. He actually downplayed some of the experiences, I think, to me. He was embarrassed. He was kind of aw shucks about it, and it really struck me as being very very forthright and honest. And you know, he said at one point before I was getting ready to leave, he said, "Look, you know, I'm not sure if I, you know, I'm afraid for my family. I'm afraid for their safety, and I'd really like to sell this place, but I don't know if I could sell it. Do you know anybody that would buy a place like this?" And I said, "There's only two people I know, Lawrence Rockefeller and this guy, Robert Bigelow." And I went ahead and gave him the phone numbers for these two gentlemen. And before he had a chance to call, I think he called Rockefeller, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, was unable to get through to him. But before he was able to call Bigelow, Bigelow called him because he had seen the article come, you know, that came out in the Deseret News and instantly swooped in on the whole affair and ended up, you know, making him an offer that Terry couldn't refuse. Everybody had to sign non-disclosure agreements. Anybody that has anything to do with NIDS and that ranch is sworn to secrecy. It's a black hole where nothing comes out, basically, not even light. The fact that, you know, Combe Kelleher and George Knapp were able to write a book and get a few, you know, important points wrong in terms of dates and times of events.
Can you be more specific about what's wrong so our listeners understand?
Well, one of the most amazing events that happened on that ranch, I happened to be on the phone with Terry when the event occurred. I literally was talking to him on the phone, and he was describing these blue grapefruit-sized glowing orbs that were one was flying around his corral outside of his house. He was watching it as he was talking to me. It checked out his horses. Then it went and checked out his wife, and he kind of freaked out. It flew up and around by the farm light that was there. All the lights dimmed, and then it took off into the woods. And his ranch dogs, you know, who were very alert during this whole sequence of events, just couldn't contain themselves, and they went chasing after it out into the woods that were a couple 300 yards away. And Terry said, "Look, my dogs just took off. I got to call you back." And he hung up. And I think the next day when I talked to him, he said he had gone out and found what he described as three grease piles where his dogs had been melted by some sort of energy. Now, when you read the account in Hunt for the Skinwalker, I think, and I don't have the book in front of me, but I think they claim that this happened in April of 95. And according to my database and my you know, investigative log, this happened in August of 96. So It just kind of brings up a bit of a question in my mind about how accurate some of the data is in the book. I know George very well for years. I've talked and loosely worked with Colm as well, and I do trust these guys. But I just wonder why there were only four people named in the book on the record. Why there's no photographs, no data presented, no information that we can sink our teeth into except for fairly frightening stories. So in answer to your question.
I have a comment on that. This is Ryan. What concerns me is at the end of the book, they kind of make the point that the case is closed. The activity was rolling to an end and time to move on. You know, the needs have moved on and that the investigation just had stopped. And I think
yeah.
The role where I play is the investigation, the phenomenon by no means has stopped. Perhaps it's not as active as it was at that exact time, but me and other researchers have found quite the opposite. Also, there's just a whirlwind of different myths surrounding the ranch based on the book. And I kind of highlighted a few of them. I don't know if you want to go into any of these.
Well, why don't you go through a couple? We have about a minute left for the segment, but why don't you go through some now, and then we'll go in our next segment with some more.
I'll just highlight a couple of these, and whichever ones you'd like to discuss, I have a little bit of input, and I'm curious myself on some other ones. There's one big myth is that there's a Masonic symbol that's etched into somewhere on Skinwalker Ridge or on the property. Another is that the paranormal activity is the dead spirits of the Buffalo Soldiers, which is a whole separate topic, who were in the area at that time supposedly fighting the Utes. You can't dig on the property, that there was a clause that you can't dig on the property, and that must be because there's an underground base or some other reason.
These are all myths. This is not something that we take seriously. It's just what people are saying.
These are all rumors and myths, and the book perpetuates some of these that haven't gone answered, and Frank Salisbury himself has addressed some of these, and new information I found has disputed some of his findings. See that there's an Indian burial ground on top of the ridge. Some of these are true, some aren't. Junior Hicks, the local historian in Roosevelt and a school teacher who's collaborated some of these stories for years and years prior to the story coming out regarding Skinwalker Ranch, claims that he found fuel rods or something from apparently from a close encounter after a cattle mutilation. Another interesting story. The basin is home to the only deposit of gilsonite known in the world.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more myths and realities. We have Ryan Skinner. We also have David Weatherling. And we'll have a special guest joining us just a little bit later. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.